3:27, which says in the New King James, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so." I'm going to repeat that. That's kind of heavy duty, isn't it? Let's read it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Now, here's a paraphrase that someone wrote in relationship to that verse, and it kind of struck me, so I pulled it off. Here's how it goes. Proverbs 3:27. "Do not pass by a man in need, for you may be the hand of God to him." Does that make sense? It does, doesn't it? Now, we see there's all kinds of people in need, okay? But the Lord taps us on the shoulder sometimes with regards to people meet. I used to have a professor in Bible college, and he used to say, "Now, we do need to be serving others," and he knew this verse real well. But he said, "You can't on your way to college, you can't stop and help everybody with a flat tire." And that's true. You can't help everybody with a flat tire. But we do want to be alert, don't we, to those we see who do have need, and when we can help, especially if the Lord taps us on the shoulder, we need to help them. "Do not pass by a man in need, for you may be the hand of God to him." I think that's good. That's a good reminder for us. Now, this morning I would like you to start by looking with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether according to what he has done, whether it is good or worthless." There's the verse that reminds us of the fact that the day will come, and you can look at this in a negative way, or you can look at it in a positive way. When every one of us, no matter what we have done in this life, will be standing before the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And we will see Him. Now, believers, if your faith and trust is in Jesus, salvation is not the issue, okay? It's not the issue of whether you're going on to heaven or whether you're going to the other place called hell. That's not the issue. There will be a separate judgment when all those who have not responded to God in faith, when all those in this dispensation have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will still stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, "I never knew you. You never accepted me. Go to the place called the lake of fire." Okay? There is an actual hell. There is an actual lake of fire. But we who have received Jesus as our Savior, we will stand before the Lord, and we will answer to the Lord for the things done in the body, our works. Now, the Bible is real clear that we are actively looking for the return of Christ. That's one thing an evangelical Christian is. An evangelical Christian is someone who is looking for the return of Christ. Now, we realize that there's some people who say he's going to come before the tribulation period, time of judgment. He's going to come in the middle of the tribulation period. Some say he's going to come after the tribulation period. But evangelical believers, those who believe the Bible, generally speaking, are looking for the return of the Lord. And why are we doing that? Well, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended up into heaven, in front of the disciples, two angels appeared and said, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus who was taken from you up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven." So somebody says to you, "Do you really believe Jesus is coming back again, literally, bodily, physically?" And your answer should be yes, based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The rapture. And that could happen this afternoon. You know, it could happen right now, instantaneously. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So the first one that we're going to see is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly when we get to heaven, we are going to want to see loved ones who have gone on before us And that will be one of the joys of heaven. But we're going to tell you about the greatest joy of heaven, the supreme joy, in a little while. But after we're raptured and caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the first event of what happens in heaven is called the Bema Seat of Christ, or the Judgment Seat of Christ, where we stand before the Lord. Now look, let's try to get this in our mind and thinking. When we're up in heaven and we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be standing in line and I'm going to be standing behind Don and I'm going to be listening to what the Lord says to Don. I mean, that's just not how it's going to be. When we go to heaven to be with the Lord, we will have some private time with the Lord, and He's going to discuss what we've done in this life, and there will be rewards. And we trust, as those who have known Christ as Savior, and let me put it this way, God doesn't expect you to do the same things that I do. God opens up opportunities for you that He might not open up for somebody else, but we're going to see that we all have opportunities to do things to please and to honor the Lord. In fact, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage, it said that we are laborers together with Christ. So we will see the Lord, and we trust that He will be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, it's interesting, across from the 1 Corinthians 3 is 1 Corinthians 4, 5, and there it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time." I thought it was neat, and I'd like you to see it again. That's 1 Corinthians. I'm in 2nd. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes." There's another phrase. See, if somebody says to you, "I'm not so sure that Jesus is coming back again," you can take them to passages of Scripture where it clearly says He's coming again until the Lord comes. There's many passages in the New Testament. "Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God." I believe the passage is clear, the Scripture is clear, that every believer is going to receive praise from the Lord. After you trusted the Lord as Christ, Jesus Christ as your Savior, no doubt you became excited about your relationship with Christ. And you have done things for the Lord. You've told other people about the Lord. We're going to go through, and I have a neat little list that we're going to look at of things that we do that we will be rewarded for when we're in the presence of the Lord. He's the one who will do the judging. So therefore, with regards to ministry and people serving the Lord, it says, don't judge before the time when the Lord does the judging. And we need to be very, very careful on this. I believe that there are three tests, and I'm going to just mention these very briefly. A lot of people put together other tests, but I think there's three tests that help us to evaluate what we do for the Lord. And the first test is the test of relationship. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged His disciples to stay close to Him. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And so He encouraged His disciples to maintain a close relationship with Him. You will recall that in the book of Revelation, there was that first church, the church at Ephesus, where the Lord commends them for their labor. However, He said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And so one of the reasons we serve the Lord and we do things for Him is because we love the Lord. I like to hear it once in a while somebody say, "Well, I know so-and-so, and she really loves the Lord." Or, "I know so-and-so, he really loves the Lord." I like to hear that. We want to love the Lord, and we want other people to know that we love our Lord. So the first test is the test of our relationship with the Lord. The second test is the test of motive. And therefore, we have a passage like Matthew 6:1, where Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven." So if I do something just to be seen by others, I'm not going to be rewarded for that which I do. To serve God and to bring glory to Him is the reason that we do the things that we do. We'll see more about this. So you have the test of relationship, the test of motive. What I do to please and honor the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the honor and the glory of the Lord." The third test It's the test of love. Now, this one's interesting because the test here is in relationship to those we serve. You recall the Apostle Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits nothing. So we really need to allow the Lord to develop in our hearts a real, genuine love for others. And let's put it out on the table here. Sometimes it's hard to love others. Sometimes there are those who are, quote, difficult to love. But the Lord says, what are we supposed to do with our enemies? Love your enemies. And I've had people say, I cannot love this person. Okay? And we can't on our own, but we could, in the power of the Lord, love our enemies. Now I want to show you, while we're on these tests real quick, time's flying. Turn with me to Luke 6:35. We're talking about the fact that we will be rewarded in heaven. We will be rewarded in heaven. Look at with me at Luke 6:35. Now this is a tough verse. There's some verses in the Bible that people say, man, I have a hard time with that verse. This is one of them. Luke 6:35 says, you have it? Love your enemies. There's a tough part right there. Do good and lend. Now watch this next phrase. Hoping for nothing in return. And your reward, there it is right there. Reward and glory. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. And look at this next phrase. Tough verse. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I heard someone say not too long ago, I'm not going to give anything to this person. They're so unthankful. And developed a very negative attitude towards, and I know the context and the circumstance. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy at all. But look at that verse again. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing. We had a man in our church in Nebraska, Gerald McClenahan, and he used to be a teacher at Prairie Bible Institute in Canada. And he said every year, the president of that school, I don't remember his name, do you remember Bob? Prairie Bible Institute? Every year, the president would get up at the beginning of the school year and say to the students, turn to Luke 6:35. And I want you to keep this in mind. You'll be trained to go out and to help people, and to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to do things for others. But he said, I want you to develop a mindset so that you hope for nothing in return. He said, I never forgot that. He said, In fact, I couldn't get it out of my head. I want you as students, you're going to go out into this world. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to share the Lord. There will be those who will be unthankful, but hope for nothing. Because actually, you will receive reward in heaven. And he said, I never, ever forgot that. Very interesting. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ where we will be receiving rewards. Now, the Bible encourages us in relation to the fact that we're stewards of all that we have. In fact, the Bible's clear. It talks about the fact that we're stewards of our time, our treasure, and our talents. Let me repeat it, three T's. Our time, our treasure, and our talents. And God wants us to use our time and our talents and our treasure for Him. Our time, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, I realize for some people time goes by slowly. But for some of us, it goes by quickly. And it won't be too long. You know, we see one another now here in the morning service, but it won't be too long. We're going to be seeing one another up in glory. I told you I'd have a sign over there, Louisville Bible Church, come over this way. Just kidding. We will know one another in glory. We will know one another in glory. But time's going by, and it won't be too awful long when we're with the Lord. Our treasure, Matthew 6:20, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, things that you have you can use here on this earth to bring glory to the Lord. And talents, well, you know that verse, 1 Peter 4:10. And each one of you has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards. There's the word again. We're stewards. All that we have belongs ultimately to God. We're just using. So let's take this a little bit over to the right. Okay, we're going to take it to the right. We're stewards of all we have. So your car, you know your car belongs to God, okay? So if I want to borrow your Corvette, you better loan it to me. Just kidding. All that we have, though, whose car is your car? It's God's. Whose house is your house? It's God's. Right. And, you know, that's a wonderful mindset to really have. It really is. To realize that our time, our talents, and our treasure all ultimately belongs to the Lord. We're stewards of that which we have. Your ability to do things, I don't get on the internet much, but I see some creativity on there, people designing things. I thought, man, I have to be careful drawing stick figures. And some people are so clever with designing things, and it's beautiful what they do. Well, you're a steward, and you can use your gifts and your talents for the Lord. Now, quickly, I'm going to keep moving along. God does promise to reward us. I'm going to mention this passage. If you want to turn to it, it's Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. Luke 14, 12 through 14. These are encouraging passages. Luke 14, 12 says, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your neighbors, your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid." Jesus, after he gave this parable. Luke 14, 13, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." In other words, when you do things to help people who cannot help you in return, you're going to be blessed for that. Can I put it this point? There's nothing that you do for the Lord that He misses seeing you do it. Whether you pray for somebody, I'm going to handle this in just a minute. Whether you pray for somebody, do things for others, you will be rewarded for the things that you do for Christ. Now, this passage is very clear in relationship to that. And I'm going to skip over and start talking about things that we do to bring honor and glory to the Lord. In fact, the Bible talks about good works. Well, you know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works." We're not saved by doing good things, lest anyone should boast. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved when we say, "Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for me, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior." I've been witnessing to someone in our neighborhood, and he keeps saying, when I say, you know, it's faith in Jesus who died and rose again for you, and he keeps saying, "Oh, but I got to do something." And he keeps saying it. And every once in a while, I feel like bringing some tape and taping him and allowing me just to do the talking. He keeps saying this. "Oh, but I've got to..." No, you don't. Jesus did it all for you. He paid for your sins on the cross. You have to humble yourself and say, "Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross. Oh, I've sinned." You know, a person's never saved until they realize they're sinners. "I have sinned, but Jesus, I believe you died and paid the price for my sins on the cross. I believe that." That's what makes you a Christian. Just quickly, I'm going to mention a few things and we're going to come to the table. Things for which you will be rewarded, okay? Now, the first one that I have jotted down, and I found this list and added to it and deleted and things. God will reward you for seeking Him through fasting and prayer. I put fasting in there because someone else thought that would be good to put in there. Write it down. God will reward you for seeking Him. And let's just shorten it up through prayer. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, "When you pray, enter into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly." There is reward for seeking the Lord in prayer. And please don't get discouraged on this. I think if there's one thing Satan wants to do, it's to discourage us. "Oh, you don't have that answer to prayer yet? You know, you might as well stop praying." No. we continue to pray until we see the Lord does something that causes us to shift in our praying and focus a little bit differently in our praying. We continue to pray. God will reward you, Matthew 6:6, for praying. Secondly, God will reward you for submitting to your boss at work. You say, oh man, did the Bible say that? Absolutely did. Does. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Who with good doing service, goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive from the Lord, whether he is an employee or an employer. It says slave or free. There's another passage in Scripture which says, blessed is the servant whom when his master comes, he finds him working well. You say, well, did God really say that he'll reward you if you do good working for your boss? And the answer is yes. You and I know that there's people around who they hate their job. They don't like their boss. They'll talk behind his back or her back. And all these kind of negative things which God says, hey, wait a minute, that bundle of hating your boss, hating people you work with, take that bundle and cast it aside. Cast it aside. The Lord will reward you. Even if you have a boss who's disagreeable and asks you to do things, the only thing you can't do is if he asks you or she asks you to do something that's displeasing to God. You can't do it. Let me mention a couple more real quick. Self-denial. Matthew chapter 16. I mean, you got to see this. You've got to see this. Sometimes Christians will say, you know, I do things for the Lord, and it seems like I do things for the Lord, and there's no real reward for doing things for the Lord. Watch carefully. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, if anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Wow. Matthew 16, 26. What profit is a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Watch this now, verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Listen, God wants you to look forward to the rapture. God wants you to look forward to your time in the presence of Christ. Because the Lord's going to say to you, well done for those things that you did to serve the Lord among your family, in your neighborhood, on the job, in your church. There will be reward for the things that you do. And of course, you know this one, and we touched on it when we began with the proverb. God will reward you for giving to those who are in need when you do it and you give in His name. I'll give you the reference. It's Mark 9:41. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So when you give to someone and you say, wow, you know, it's tough to do that, but God sees what you do. And I'm going to mention one more. God will reward you if you suffer and people don't understand your faith. You suffer for Christ, your faith in Christ. And many people can do that, not only on other parts of our world, but living right here in America today. There are many people who do not understand your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say, Jesus is the only Savior, He's the only one who can take it to heaven. Well, I think all religions are good. All religions are not good. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave Himself for us. And God's revealed Himself in His Word. And many religions in our world today take people deeper into darkness. And so we need to be very careful. When we uplift Jesus Christ, you might suffer for the Lord's sake, but there is reward. Lastly, Luke 6:22 and 23. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they call you evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. There it is. If you suffer for Christ, people don't understand you, when you say, you know, but Jesus gave his life for us, and they don't understand, God's going to reward you. Because in a small group of people, you were willing to say, you know, there is one Savior, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loves us, and he gave himself for us. And let me mention to you the greatest reward that you will have in heaven. The greatest reward. The Lord appeared to Abram when he called him to come out from amongst his idol-worshipping family. He appeared to him a couple times. And in Genesis chapter 15, he said, Abraham, don't fear what's ahead of you, because I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. You know, there will be rewards in heaven, but you have the greatest reward right now. And that's Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, who promises to go with you through the difficult days in your life until you're up there and you can see him face to face in glory. Let's pray before the Lord's table.